Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with 7 cafes and drive-thru locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're tuned in to KTOO's Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is Nico Sanguinetti, curator of collections and exhibits at the City Museum. Hello, Nico.
Hi, Shelley. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And thanks for welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So you're back again to share a little history with us, and I'm looking forward to this month's curator chat. So what is the topic for today?
Today is about the Four Minute Men, and I'm curious to hear if you had ever heard of the Four Minute Men.
No, I wasn't even sure if it was meant to be four men, 1 minute, or a group of men somehow associated with 4 minutes. So maybe you can clear that up for me.
That's definitely fair, and were a lot of the same questions when I stumbled across this as well. I came across a newspaper article from 1918 that just said the 4 Minute Men will be performing at these places, and then a list of names. And I was actually doing research on a particular person for somebody, and their name was on this list. And so no explanation on what the four minute men were. There were, I believe, 4 men in the list, so it was very confusing. And so all really good questions. And so a little bit about the 4 Minute Men is they actually were an organization that came to fruition during World War I. And it was actually a national group of people. And when the United States entered the war in 1917, Woodrow Wilson, the president at the time, really needed a better way to address the population of the United States. They were very widespread, very fragmented, and had very different opinions about whether or not the United States should be involved in this war or not. And Wilson had actually run on a platform of neutrality in 1916. So this was a huge turnaround for him, and he really needed to drum up support. And he created what is kind of arguably one of the first modern propaganda organizations in the modern era, which was the Committee on Public Information. And the head of this was George Creel, and he was a called journalist, newspaper man, muckraker, all the bad names that you can call somebody who worked in the newspaper business during that time period. But he set out on this massive campaign to address everybody across the United States in every method possible. So that meant printed word, radio, basically everything in any way he could get to you, he attempted that. And part of that was creating this organization of what he called 4 Minute Men. And at the time period, there were obviously theaters playing movies. And when they switched the roles on movie theaters, there was a 4 minute break while the projectionist had to switch over the roles, which then meant it was a 4 minute break that they could fill with speaking. And so this 4 Minute Men organization was actually really successful because they targeted local people from a local angle. So they had over 75,000 volunteers across the country, most of which were people who already knew how to work a room, more or less. So a lot of attorneys, clergymen, local politicians volunteered for this program, and they got some training on what topics they should talk about and given a lot of tips on how to make these 4 minutes the most successful they possibly could. And so local men then spoke to local audiences, and there's some notation of women being involved. It doesn't look like there were any in Juno that I could find, but still mostly white middle-aged men who were too old to fight in the war, but had enough standing in the community to help sway public opinion. And even in some locations, they would actually speak in the native language of the area so that the CPI was able to reach a huge new demographic across the country. And so here in Juneau, it started in about December, January of 1917, 1918, and ran through the end of the year in 1918. So they were only around for about 18 months through the duration of the war. And like I said, just incredibly effective. And all of the tips they were given by the organization were meant to basically prevent them from sounding like robots. And so they were meant to speak on a local level, resist the urge to use the standard tropes like stand up for your country and a lot of those things that had been previous propaganda campaigns. So they were meant to feel very much like your own neighbor telling you why you should buy Liberty Bonds and why you should support the Red Cross programs and all of those types of things. And Creel, the head of the CPI, basically argued that all of his material was based on fact, that and therefore was not propaganda, but of course it all came from a positive spin on the war effort and encouraging those at home to do their part to the best of their abilities. So very interesting small little window of time that this program ran. And at the end of the war, they realized it just wasn't wasn't able to continue just because they couldn't include or exclude partisan views, and the Four Minutemen was claimed to be actually nonpartisan without bias, which I think we can all say is pretty much impossible. But after the war, Creel said, we can't continue this because no matter what, it's going to turn political without one common enemy like the Germans. So also interesting to create this giant propaganda machine and then shut it down for the very reasons it was created. Also a very unique event across the country that we then see reflected here in Juneau in several theaters at the time. Not only Juneau, but Douglas as well. Douglas had its own set of Four Minutemen, as well as Juneau, and then several other locations around Alaska. So pretty popular program.
Do you think any of them ever spoke Tlingit when they did their presentations or other Indigenous languages?
It doesn't look like it, because I was thinking the same thing. Yiddish was very popular, especially on the East Coast, and so I thought maybe there would be something along the same lines here, but as far as I can tell, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like they spoke in anything other than English. There's no notation of any other languages. Obviously, at that time period, you'd have a lot of people from Eastern Europe here in Juneau as minors, and it doesn't look like any other languages were addressed, unfortunately.
Do you think that there's any kind of modern equivalent of the Four Minute Men today? Can you find any examples?
You know, I've been racking my brain trying to think of something similar, and it's hard because I think propaganda, we don't often use that term today, but you can argue that many forms of media are simply different forms of propaganda. Mm. And so I don't know of any specific today, and I would love to look more in depth at different periods since 1918 to see if there were other programs that went into effect that were as successful as the Four Minutemen.
Well, that's a really interesting story, and I'm glad that we had that there is like at least some local relevance that the Minutemen were actually here in Juneau and on Douglas. Do you have anything in the museum associated with the Four Minutemen?
Not that I can find. Like I said, they were around for such a short time, but they did present pretty much three times a week at different theaters. And generally there would be three theaters or two theaters, and then they would rotate through them throughout the course of the week. So that way they were also targeting different audiences based on what theater preference they might go to. So very, very smart and systematic use of propaganda material. It was really quite clever.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I'm glad that you were able to find the documentation that you could, because it's fun to hear about that.
I think so. Again, one of those weird things when you're looking at something else and you come across something in the newspaper where very obviously the people of the time period knew what was going on, but as an outsider 100 years removed, I have no clue what any of that means. So a lot of fun for me.
It's a bit sad. I doubt there's anyone alive today who would remember seeing the Four Minute Men in person, but it would be interesting to read accounts of anybody who did remember it and wrote about it.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah.
All right, Nika. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Another interesting, super interesting curator chat. I really appreciate it. And I was just wondering if there's anything else you'd like to share about the City Museum right now, any updates or changes to your hours or anything like that.
We're actually extending the current hours that we have now through the end of the year. So we're going to continue to be open Thursday through Sunday from 10 to 4. And we all are also offering out of hours appointments, either in the mornings or on days we are normally closed, like Tuesday or Wednesday. So if people are a little bit concerned about coming in when the doors are open, feel free to give us a call or shoot us an email, and we can schedule a time for you and your family or you and your friends to come in by yourselves and a scheduled appointment time.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Yeah, we want to make sure we're as accessible as possible. We understand it's a bit of a bummer. We haven't been able to open as much as we normally do during the summer, but we are still flexible and hope to see everyone here in the museum.
Nico Sanguinetti, curator of collections and exhibits at the City Museum, here with us for another wonderful curator chat. Do you think you'll be posting this as a video on your Facebook page?
Most likely here in the next few days. We're always kind of looking for new topics for those videos, so definitely keep an eye on our Facebook and our YouTube.
All right. Thanks again for speaking with me today, and have a good one.
Thank you, Shelley. Have a great day.